2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good morning, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And I am your host, the one, the only, the absolutely tilted for bubbling cues, Boomer's Daddy. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Your day will come.
Yes, yes, yes. And that, if you don't know his lovely voice, is the one, the only, Al Walsh, DFS. How are you doing this morning, Al?
I'm good, feeling refreshed. I stopped watching baseball at a very early time last night, unlike yourself. So got the mind all free and ready to go back up again here.
Fucking Cubs.
Yeah.
In more particular, my boy Dexter Fowler and Anthony Rizzo. Dex, I know you listen to this podcast, man. I mean, I know we're boys. We've got the pictures. We've got the old, we've got the throwback.
Weren't you in his wedding?
Back to, I was invited. I couldn't go.
Okay.
You know, but damn, how are you going to let your old boy Christian Friedrich school you like that? Oh, man. Rizzo. I shall go back to you this afternoon, Rizzo, but damn, Rizzo. You need to get your head out of your butt. My goodness. Guys, you got to help me win this queue. I've got to get in this queue.
Well,
I haven't chased a queue this hard since the beginning of the Playboy Championship. So.
Well, lucky, you know, we're not going to go through all the guys that did me wrong last night because we'd be here until...
Really? It's only two.
Well, I was going to say, we'd be here until Tuesday, I'd say, but... No, I don't know. I mean, Nolan Arenado was one of my favorite calls of the day yesterday. That obviously came through. But other than that, just a bad day all around. It's okay. We're not here to talk about how bad I did, right?
Sure we are.
Oh, come on.
It makes everybody else feel so much better.
No, not me. I'm the only one that I care about, so...
Oh, man. We give hard-hitting analysis to the DFS Army. And all the other listeners that aren't part of the DFS Army yet. And speaking of which, if you are not part of the DFS Army, this is a perfect time to take advantage of our Fantasy Draft promo. Get over there to Fantasy Draft. Absolutely killing it over there. All of us at the DFS Army are. Make sure you get signed up using the promo code CHIEFST. That's C-H-I-E-F-S-T. You're going to get two free DFS ebooks plus two free months of the DFS Army. That's an $80 value, and I promise you, it'll pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
It pays for itself just by doing a little deposit over there. Deposit as much as you can because you're going to get a fantasy draft is also going to match 100% up to $600 on your deposit. So. Man, we're killing it over there, guys. You make sure that you get into this money. As Chop likes to say, he's not loyal. He's like a 10-cent hooker. He goes to wherever the money is, and right now, $2 at a time, it is definitely at Fantasy Draft for him.
Yeah,
so.
Just think of it as purchasing a vehicle that drives for 200,000 miles, or a personal chef, or... a personal masseuse. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving, my friends.
Yep, and it gets you used to the site through MLB. MLB, I don't want to say it out loud, but we will because we're honest here. We say what's on our mind. It's actually pretty soft, which is really kind of nice.
Or we just say inexperienced players.
No, I can't even say that because there are some experienced players over there.
I was just trying to be nice about it, but okay.
You do have to kind of pay attention. There are some guys going over there that are able to get into beginner games because they just signed up that are not DFS beginners. That's okay. They won't be in the beginner games forever. So make sure you get on over there. Get used to that site before NFL, because NFL is going to be huge over there.
Huge.
Absolutely fantastic. I love it over there. It's,
oh, yeah.
FanDuel's actually, because I lost like $300 last night, because Jake Arrieta got the win, and John Gray didn't, and John Gray had nothing to do with the fact that the Rockies lost last night, it really, really, really kind of pissed me off. So,
ooh, okay. I'm thinking about buying an apartment over there in fantasydraft.com, so... That's how much I like it over there. Love it over there.
There you go. Guys, I want to let you know to stick around after the MLB analysis today. There will be an interview with one of our big NFL winners from last year. Jay Blaze, 39, took down a cool 380K last year in a live final seat to the DK NFL live final. I had the chance to speak with him a couple nights ago. Got that all taken care of, and that interview will follow the MLB analysis to get everything going. So kicking it off through NFL, this is the last week of full NBA or MLB breakdown. Next week we'll just have quick rundowns of guys that we like and don't like and stuff like that.
That'll be starting Monday,
and it'll be I won't be personally playing on anywhere probably other than Fantasy Draft. You and Chop don't know this, but you guys are going to be taking over the cheat sheets. I'm going to be full head on into NFL research and getting everybody ready for the responsibilities for the NFL podcasts that we're going to be doing and live shows.
I love when you just get allotted more work. Hey, by the way, you're going to be doing this and this and this.
Well, see, NFL's not even really our main sport, and yet we seem to be busier during NFL season than we ever are during NBA or MLB.
I mean, I used to work for a betting handicap service, so we'll put that in a nice way. But, guys would work there during the NFL season and just leave during, like, baseball and basketball and other sports like that. I mean, NFL is king. According to the movie Concussion, I mean, it owns a day of the week, for Christ's sake. So, yes, of course, NFL. I mean, look, we're going to see everything just grow exponentially. I mean, podcast views, revenue coming in, just everything is going to grow. I mean, we might even grow a couple inches. Height wise.
Okay.
Okay. I should have clarified that one.
If we get this, we probably will, but let's get this a couple plays that I like for the early slate out.
Okay.
Obviously David Dahl, Carlos Gonzalez, Nolan Arenado for the Rockies.
Obviously.
Those three are in play. Let's see here. Tyler Anderson is in play. If you don't have Tyler Anderson in there, get Keon Broxton, Jonathan VR, and Ryan Braun in your lineups. I think they are in good spots as well. Not that Tyler Anderson is he's not able to get got. But with that said, he does limit that exit velocity. So don't be surprised if he shuts them down. What you're really doing is you're rostering those three in hopes that they can get to the Rockies bullpen, which has reared their ugly head again and is absolutely horrible. So also like Trevor Bauer for the Indians, Carlos Santana, Jason Kipnis, Jose Ramirez and Lonnie Chisenhall are all in play. So is Tyler Naquin. Really like the Indians today out there in an afternoon game in Oakland. I feel like they could get back on a roll. Yankees, I don't like anybody.
Oh, no.
I don't like anybody, which means that I actually like Hisashi Iwakuma today.
Yeah.
I kind of like him a lot. Maybe not for the strikeout upside, because there's really not a lot of Trevor Bauer's your best strikeout pitcher today.
Yep.
On the early slate,
and he's going
really
against a pain in the ass team too.
Yeah, no kidding. If you're not rostering Trevor Bauer, Chris Davis is absolutely on freaking fire last night. If he's got his ankles taped from getting broke last night.
Yeesh. By the way, Manaea yesterday, I wish I had the kahunas to do it, but.
Yeah. I had to grow some kahunas to roster Yordan Ventura and didn't have enough kahunas to roster Ivan Nova. Although, we should really pay attention to the Pittsburgh pitchers, because that pitching coach in Pittsburgh absolutely works wonders.
You want to give him a raise?
He needs to get a raise. Huh. He should be higher paid than some of these managers that are around
the
league.
We'll talk to the Steelmakers over there.
There you go. Chicago Cubs, San Diego Padres. Kyle Hendricks is obviously your biggest favorite of the day. I don't mind him, but I'm actually looking a little bit at the left-handed bats again for the San Diego Padres. Kyle Hendricks is no Jake Arrieta. And really, the Padres kind of had a chance to get on Arrieta early in that game. Travis Jankowski got on, and then he was picked off, I believe, at third base. And then Alex Dickerson hit into a double play. So they really had a chance to get on to Arrieta. But they didn't. Still like Jankowski, Will Myers, Solarte, Dickerson, and Schimpf over there. So
Schimpf. 1, 2, 3, 4, Schimpf.
And then, of course, for the Cubs, 1 through 5, Addison Russell, man. What? Addison Russell.
What up, kid?
So.
Yeah, I have zero analysis for the early games because I just didn't prepare for them, but I will be playing them. We're going to have a little bit of time to dig into the lineups and whatnot after we get off the pod. So while I'm listening to the Jay Blaze interview, of course, how do you like that for team marketing?
Yep, it's pretty good. Really good. We get into some hard-hitting analysis and questions.
Don't we always?
Yes, we do. So let's go on and take it to the main slate. That's the reason that everybody tunes in. Baltimore Orioles, Washington Nationals, Wade Miley versus Tanner Roark. Any interest?
In bats, certainly.
I was talking pitchers.
Maybe for Roark, but it's very little. I mean, given the fact that, you know, the Orioles are just absolutely crushing right-handed pitching. But again, you know me, this is a game of streaks and whatnot. I got to think that the Nationals come out strong after losing 2 in Baltimore. Just a law of average sort of thing here today. Roark has actually been very good against left-handed pitchers, holding them to a .204 batting average this season, but that might not matter much since the O's have so many right-handed bats.
Cool. The Orioles, we've said it so much. They're better versus right-handed pitching than they are left-handed pitching. Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Chris Davis, who's just absolutely crushing the ball. Mark Trumbo. I even don't mind Jonathan Schoop. And yes, Chop, Matt Wieters, I don't mind in this spot. Tell me I wouldn't play Matt Wieters over freaking Gary Sanchez. And do you know what Gary Sanchez did last night?
I believe he had a walk and single.
Yes. Yep. And you want to know what's funny?
He was the highest on player of the night.
Yes.
And you said not to roster him?
Exactly. You want to know what's even funnier?
I don't know. What could be funnier than that?
9 catchers outscored him last night.
Really? Interesting, including Victor Martinez.
Oh, yes.
Well, I had him on
the I was all over Tigers. I had Victor Martinez in my lineup. I had Justin Upton, had a little bit of Cameron Maven, and then that weather scared the crap out of me, and I got off of it. So if you didn't, then kudos to you. You probably you got them at a very, very, very low ownership, and they paid off for you.
Yep.
So Washington National bats here. Wade Miley is not good at throwing a baseball, and that should be no shock to anybody. all hands on deck, I guess is what you would say. Really, okay, I've got a little strategy question for you. Trey Turner, okay, leading off, obviously. He's going to be up there in price, has immense upside. In tournaments, now I don't think you could fade Trey Turner in cash games, but in tournaments, is there merit for fading Trey Turner for Danny Espinosa, knowing how he crushes left-handed pitching, hoping that he can get a dong or two?
Yeah.
Because out of the two quote-unquote shortstops, now on DraftKings you can play, you know, Turner and Espinosa, because you can play Turner at second base or in the outfield.
Right.
But on FanDuel, where they're both a shortstop, I mean, you're going to get a lower ownership percentage, and Espinosa has the power. Trey Turner doesn't have the power.
But does have the stolen base upside, you know, against the lefty. Might be limited a bit, but, I mean, look, you know, and again, on FD2, I had Turner last night, not on FanDuel, but he gets the two caught stealings. That's minus points. That's also some risk that you got to take in. But, yeah, I see what you're saying here. And, by the way, it's not just Espinosa that's got good history against Miley on the Nationals. It's a lot of these guys.
Oh, I didn't even look at the BVP yet.
Yeah.
I was just going based on the splits and, you know, what I know that Espinosa does versus left-handed pitching.
Yeah, a lot of these guys. Ryan Zimmerman, I believe, has the best against Miley. But, yeah, a lot of these Nationals have some pretty solid stats. Wilson Ramos is a guy that I'm absolutely interested in. Anytime he's going against the lefty, I'm absolutely interested. So, but to your original question, yeah, absolutely. There's merit to going with Espinosa over Turner.
Okay. Jason Worth, I love against left-handed pitching. I think he's going to be low-owned, go overlook. Obviously, Daniel Murphy. I don't know if I want to go with Bryce Harper today or not. For how he's been hitting the ball, and granted, I'm the biggest. If you tell me that
Harper hater in the house.
Yeah, if you want to tell me you want to fade Bryce Harper, I'm not going to talk you out of it. But he is only 4K on FanDuel. He's worth a serious look because Miley's not going to be in there for very long. Or even if he is, you know, that Orioles bullpen is really right-handed dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have – I'm saying he's going to have at least two at-bats versus the Orioles bullpen. So
I think you could probably do without Harper tonight. We're going to find some better options for sure.
Okay. Los Angeles Angels, Toronto Blue Jays. Matt, the maker of shoes versus the Estrado of Marco. I tried to be funny there. It failed miserably, and it made everybody laugh just the same. So
you could have went Marco Estrada, no relation to Eric Estrada.
I could have done that too.
What we know now, we wish we knew then. Okay, I get with analysis here. I want nothing to do with Matt Shoemaker on the road. He's just not the same person that he is on the left coast. And you know, with Estrada, I mean, I think he's in an okay spot tonight, but I'm not expecting any strikeouts. And I could see some of these fly balls just missing the wall today for the Angels. In a good way for Estrada, meaning fly balls winding up short.
Yeah, it's a little weird because it's Marco Estrada is one of those ones where like I like him as a pitcher, I just don't understand him as a pitcher. Like I like him more as a MLB pitcher than a DFS pitcher.
Yeah.
Because he can be successful in multiple different ways, which really kind of sucks when it comes to DFS because he can sit there and he can go out and he can strike out 8, 9, 10 guys. And then he can go out and strike out like 3 and still pitch deep into the ball game. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's I'm trying to think if he, or trying to look and see if he's. It doesn't look like he's pitched against the Angels this year. So
no, he didn't.
He did get roughed up his last start out against the Yankees, but that was in New York. That was kind of a little bit to be expected. And this is a guy that typically normally does better in the Rogers Center than he does on the road, anyways.
Yep. Well, yeah, you were talking about Estrada and everything. The peripherals are actually very good. I mean, both sides of the plate are hitting under 200 against him in terms of opponent batting average. Again, but you're right. It's just he's a much better real-life pitcher than he is a fantasy world pitcher.
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing to kind of look at here is I want to look at Josh Donaldson here because he had a single and two walks last night. Do you realize this guy hasn't had an extra base hit since the 12th of August?
I do now.
Oh, wait, since the 13th of August.
I do now.
So I think he's kind of hurt a little bit. Of course, I'm saying this now, and he's going to go out and he's going to hit two home runs. But I'm off Josh Donaldson until he at least shows some power and some pop. I think he's dealing a little bit more with that wrist injury than we have been led to believe. So, however, I do like some guys down at the bottom of the order. BJ Upton has been absolutely killing the ball lately. Really like Michael Saunders. He's 3.1K, still a little too cheap in my opinion. Troy Tulowitzki, 3.2K, and Russell Martin, 3.2K. So I really wouldn't mind a 4-5-6-8 stack. I can't play Justin Smoke.
Yeah, he's probably not going to be in the lineup tonight. But even before I knew he was going to be a leadoff hitter last night, Darwin Barney, amazing production out of the leadoff spot for basically minimum price on FD2. I let some folks talk me off of him, but you weren't the only one. Don't worry. All right, now with Shoemaker, righty, right-handed bats do have slightly better numbers against Shoemaker. But again, he hasn't allowed a homer in 8 of his last 11 starts. In the 3 that he has given up 2 homers, but, you know, they've been very far and few between. You know, he has taken a loss in 4 straight road starts. So, sure, I think there's some sneaky ownership that we can go with here with the Blue Jays. Just we got to see what this lineup looks like. But Encarnacion has homered against him in the past, as well as Saunders.
Yep, absolutely.
Got to see the lineup. It's going to be screwy.
I had to pause because KD just woke up.
Okay.
All right, back after a little pause here. Let's go over this Angels lineup here. I've got a little bit of interest in probably the top couple. Calhoun and Trout is kind of like a mini stack. Maybe.
I was going to say, Calhoun, very cheap across the industry tonight.
Yes, very, very cheap. So I've got a little bit of interest there. Maybe a Nick Buss if I need some extreme value.
You know what's funny is that yesterday I wanted to talk about him, and I'm like, he's not going to do anything. Well, he sure as hell did.
Yeah.
Homer and stolen base.
Yep. Had a nice little game last night. 2 hits, home run, 2 RBI, stolen base, 31.2 FanDuel points. Somebody that we maybe don't need to talk about every day, but somebody we need to at least keep an eye on going forward.
Well, he had a lot of great power in the minor leagues, but really had not been translating well. He'd been in the majors before and just didn't work out. And I guess this is his first time back since 2013 or 2014, I believe. And, it finally worked for him last night. I want to say it's finally coming around for him because that was an outlier last night, but definitely has good enough power.
Yeah, for 2.2K in tournaments, I don't mind taking a shot in good situations. So,
yep.
Boston Red Sox, Tampa Bay Rays, Rick Porcello versus Matt Andrés. What do we do with Rick Porcello here?
I'm interested. I mean, look, the Rays are with Happy. We know this. We've known this for a while now. I could certainly roll him out there. I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Okay. If I'm not rolling him out there, maybe one-offs, maybe a Brad Miller, maybe a Logan Morrison, but nothing extreme just because Brad Miller, he never really gets beat up. In fact, Brad Miller would probably be the one I would go with as a one-off. 3 for 11, those 3 hits are?
I'm going to say ground rule doubles.
Yes. Home run.
Ground rule doubles that don't hit the ground.
No kidding. As far as the Boston Red Sox bats here, man, this was a good game yesterday. Glad I pulled the trigger a little bit on Chris Archer did not allow Poppy to hit the home run, which was nice. You know, but I don't mind going back to Poppy in this one.
Yeah, I think, if we're looking at this series in general, obviously Tampa's trying to avoid the sweep in this one. I thought Matt Andreas was interesting from a fade Red Sox bat perspective. And, you know, with Andreas, we've seen him before just not necessarily blow teams away, but he's just going to be like hitting his spots, doing his thing, and I could see that being a problem for the Red Sox, but then again, it's the Red Sox, and I could see the total opposite happening. Porcello at 17-3, I said it earlier with, Washington trying to get that win against Baltimore after losing the last two. I mean, I bet the Rays feel some type of way about having the Tropicana Field filled with Red Sox fans. I mean, literally filled with Red Sox fans the entire time that they're there each year. Their spring training, Fort Myers, only about an hour or so away. So, I think there is some risk in Porcello. You're obviously probably going to have more success going with Jose Fernandez or Darvish tonight. But Porcello, I think, could be a nice offshoot to the two.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind Andreas here. I don't like picking on Rays pitchers at home a lot. I tend to pick on them more on the road, just because they significantly pitch better at the Trop than they do anywhere else. So I don't make it a habit to pick on the Rays at home. This total is an 8, though, so it's got me a little. Andreas hasn't looked good since coming back into the starting rotation, but it's got me a little worried that I might be missing something here.
I agree.
So, stay tuned for the cheat sheets and everything later on.
By the way, Porcello's game log, so sexy.
Oh my God, is it? Stay tuned to the cheat sheets and everything. Did you happen to see Cespedes' catch last night robbing our boy Piscotty?
Just saw it.
Yep. I didn't even realize that. I was like, Scotty, you suck. And then I just realized that he got robbed of a home run. So Cespedes making his impact on the offensive side and the defensive side. You just like picking on Mets, and there's really – and it's just like with me with Dodgers and stuff like that. There's really a time and place to pick on them, and then there's really not. We all know how that ended up last night. Texas Rangers, Cincinnati Reds, totals 8.5 here. Yu Darvish versus Tim Adelman. What do we do with Yu Darvish here?
Before we talk about anybody from tonight and everybody for tonight, could I just say the Straley is real?
The Straley is real. The Straley is real. We need to seriously look about rostering him in tournaments. When he pitches at the GABP.
Uh-huh. The GABP-HRD, home run derby. Yep.
You know that's gonna drive Chop absolutely crazy mad about us rostering Reds pitchers. talking about rostering Reds pitchers in that ballpark.
What is it? I don't know why. We talked about how inexpensive the Rangers bats were yesterday. Well, too good to be true. Damn right it was.
I'm starting to get to the point where I'm using the DK algorithm on the pricing, to our advantage.
Yeah, for sure.
Thinking that they know a lot, because those Rangers bats were hell of cheap last night, and they really, really, really didn't do anything.
But you got to – I mean, it wasn't just DK, but you're right. I mean, DK leads the industry in terms of the dynamic pricing. But, all the sites kind of followed suit with that last night, and it was just a little too easy to see.
Yeah, and I thought it might have been a mistake, this high-powered Rangers offense going in into a hitter's ballpark and everything, and theoretically a good matchup, and they got shut down.
All the sites already knew the Straley was real.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so what do we do about Yu Darvish?
Look, you're going to have much, much interest in him tonight, especially going up against the Reds. I see a little bit of a rain threat, but we'll wait to, you know, take that at full value later on. I like Yu Darvish for without a doubt. And again, you know, righties against the Reds, that's a good thing. However, we have seen the Reds, you know, do some nasty things against aces. See Jose Fernandez last week. But I like him. I just, you know, we're seeing him go deeper into games now, and so the strikeout totals are coming along up with that. So I have absolutely zero problem with Darvish tonight.
Yeah, I think if you don't have Yu Darvish in your lineup, then you need to have Joey Votto in that lineup. He's 3.6K. In my opinion, he's too cheap, and he's an on-base machine, and he's got a little bit of pop. Yu Darvish does allow the home run every once in a while. Now, the strikeout totals can get up there, but he can still be got as we have begin to like to say on this podcast. So,
interest of value here. I'm sorry, Adelman, too. That's another big thing for Darvish tonight, going head-to-head against him.
Yeah, I have no interest in any Reds hurlers tonight. If they could roll out, I could go pitch against the Rangers and probably have just as much success or non-success.
You could
against
Keith,
the Rangers
I believe
tonight.
In you. Don't worry.
I might get I would get a lot of ground balls and a lot of pop-ups.
All right.
And then for one time through the lineup. And then after that, I would just get crushed.
I had a visual of just you inducing a ton of double play ground balls. All right, let's talk about bats because I got one that's very interesting here. Ian Desmond, he will be 3,800 on FanDuel tonight. However, on FD2, 7,600 seems a little too low. We know his power against right-handers, so that's certainly a way I'm going tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that play. I also don't mind Mitch Moreland, 3K on FanDuel.
It's a palooza.
Yep, exactly. Hitter's ballpark. That ballpark's too small to contain Mitchy Mitch.
They're re-releasing him into the wild.
Yeah, they need to. He went absolutely freaking Babe Ruth on everybody, and then disappeared. So, it's kind of one of those things now that we need to get. We need more Mitch in our lives.
Mitch.
And I mean, obviously, I this is probably one of my favorite stacks tonight is the Texas Rangers and. That should be no surprise to anybody.
Yeah, and I kind of know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of people fall off the Rangers for what they did last night. Right?
Yeah. I mean, recency bias is real in DFS, and we scream all the time in DFS in the Army, don't fall victim of the Spartan curse and create a naughty list. Yes, the naughty list is real, Greg. I understand that. But you are a DFS player. You are not Santa Claus. There should be no naughty list for your DFS guys. In NBA and ML, especially in MLB, but definitely not in NBA, NFL, or any other sport for that matter, because... guys, the struggle is real, and Greg struggles a lot.
the naughty list, that sounds like something I had back in my early 20s. All right, never mind. But
that sounds like something we all had in our
early 20s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get, you know, obviously there's tons of Ranger bats that we can go with. I just, you know, the prices on, I mean, Lucroy is 5,000 on DraftKings. I just took a look at that. It seems like it's going to be for good reason. 3,400 on FanDuel. I do like Ramos a little more in his matchup, but I could certainly see you going with some Lucroy, maybe on FD2.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he is expensive there, but whatever.
Yeah, but I don't think that you You can find a lot of good value today, I don't think it's gonna hinder you too much. So.
All right.
Kansas City Royals, Miami Marlins, totals out of 7. Jose Fernandez is a 213 favorite.
Do we just say go Jose Fernandez and move on?
I think that's one way we could go. Do you think that after his last start, people are going to jump off of that?
Oh, I sure as hell hope they do. Because, look, the splits between Jose Fernandez at home and on the road are ridiculous. At home this season, I got to bring this up because he's God at Marlins Park. They should erect a statue of him now. Just do it now. 9-2, 2.07 ERA, 119 Ks in 82 2/3 innings. That's insane. That is clinically insane, my friends.
Yeah, this season it's absolutely freaking crazy. And I'm pulling up his baseball reference page right now. And over his career, he is, let's see here. He's not even leading them in WAR, by the way.
That's okay.
Christian Yelich is.
I'm not too worried about it.
But in his career at home, he is 26-2 with a 1.62 ERA in 250 innings pitched, only 12 home runs allowed, and 311 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Okay. On the road, he's 8-14. With a 3.99 ERA, which is still a respectable ERA, honestly. 17 home runs allowed and only 180 innings pitched and only 229 strikeouts.
Yes. Also, too, the most important statistic, Andrew Cashner only gave up one run against the Royals last night, so imagine what Jose Fernandez can do.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Royals away from home, just, you know, not – a lot of strikeouts going on for them, and yeah, it's going to be great for Jose. In my notes I have here, got shellacked bad in Cincinnati last start. Settle down, everyone. Things will be okay. And then that home statistic. So
the world is not ending.
No, not at all.
So here's why it pays to be a part of the DFS Army Slack team. If you would have been in there last night, you would have seen my little nugget about I am playing Yordana Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and he performed very admirably for me last night, as you can go see in my lineup. But I was very, very happy with it. Now, I wish I would have gone with Ivan Nova over Yordana Ventura, but that's just because Ivan Nova pitched the whole game.
Now, for those of us that did not see it, like myself, what was it that you saw in Ventura against the Marlins last night?
When the Marlins lineup came out, I was not impressed.
Was it that crappy bottom fifth again, or the bottom five again?
Yeah, that, and it worked in our favor that Marcelo Ozuna had to leave because of a family emergency. Truly, I know he doesn't listen to the podcast, but I really do hope everything is okay with that. You know, Yordana Ventura, he's got electric stuff. And he's – if you say GPP play for pitchers, he's the poster boy. Because he can go out there and light it up and be as electric as anybody. Or he can go out there and get blown up and end up throwing at somebody's head and getting suspended.
He's just a psychopath, that's all.
Hey, I like psychopaths in my freaking DFS lineup.
I like them in my relationship.
They come at low ownership.
Makes things interesting.
They come at lower ownerships, and usually about every once in a while can perform well enough for me to have a good night. Mm. So,
You know, the reason why I'm probably not married is because I've had so many psychopaths in relationships in the past. Sorry, Mom. You know, my dad keeps asking for the grandkid, too. I'm like, that's only happening on an accident. So
here's the issue and here's the problem. I don't see anybody that I really like on the Marlins offense except for maybe Christian Yelich and D. Gordon.
Yeah, you know, Dylan G is a guy that we typically think, all right, we're going to pick on him. And then, you know, last double handfuls of time out, he's kind of said, uh-uh. I mean, he has given up double-digit hits in two of his last 10 starts, but again.
Well, if you know, Al, if the Twins can get to him for five runs.
Yeah.
There's no – the only guy that's got any sort of pop in this offense consistently is Marcell Ozuna. He's probably not going to be in the lineup tonight. I'm going to have to see this lineup. Dylan G might be an interesting SB2 player.
Prado has good – did you mention that earlier? But
no, I didn't, because Prado does not have pop. He has pop at times, but not overall pop.
I just wanted to mention him in the – you know, having a good...
You just wanted to name drop?
I did.
Okay.
14. I like his swing, man. I mean, hell, the guy...
Oh, his swing is sexy. Don't get me wrong. But
he just doesn't hit ground rule doubles that don't bounce over the wall.
No kidding. Texas Rangers, Cincinnati Reds. Oh, yeah. We just went over this one. Philadelphia Phillies, Chicago White Sox. That's how much I wanted to retalk about the Texas Rangers back today. Phillies and White Sox. Eichhoff and Shields.
Yeah. You want me to say it?
Hard-hitting analysis
you
right
want
there.
You say something
okay,
about
let's go to the bats here. okay. How do you not stack the Phillies today on FanDuel?
Because
have you seen their prices?
No, I didn't necessarily get it. This is where my game-by-game analysis is going to fall off, people, but and everything.
The most expensive guy in the projected starting lineup today is Mikel Franco at 3.1K.
Oh, man. I know when you're...
Oh, sorry. Aaron Altair is 3.2.
That's how I know when you're upset, because your voice just gets this low.
I'm not upset. I'm just. What do I do with so that? Tempted. It's like I'm a fat kid right now. Okay, it's like I'm a really, really big fat DFS kid or a pregnant chick, and I'm sitting there looking at Merritt's Bakery at all the cookies and the cakes
Merritt's
and
Bakery?
The cupcakes with the icings. Oh, it's one of the bakeries that we have here in town. You know, I'm sitting here looking through the bakery window, and I'm smelling all the sweets and stuff, and I'm sitting here looking at it going, I really, really want this and 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 this. I want it all. I want to buy the whole store. But I know I probably shouldn't, because if it looks too good to be true...
Usually is.
Yes, and the prices on the Philadelphia Phillies around the industry today look way too good to be true.
Yeah, and you might even like some James Shields if you're a risky sort of fella. You know, nothing in Vegas is really standing out. Both teams are at an even. However, actually, I shouldn't say nothing's standing out. Well, I meant in terms of teams, but the over-under at 9.5 should definitely stand out. You know, Eichhoff's just a guy that you don't want to mess with. Well, you don't want to roster when he's on the road. But with Shields, I mean, we can mess with him anywhere. He just sucks. You know, last year, I remember a game last year where he took on the Phillies in San Diego, and he was just like a massive favorite. And you got all these little shits just going yard off him. Like, I know Howard, he's not a little shit by any stretch of the imagination. But, yeah, I forgot who else went yard against him. But it was just a reminder that, hey, the Phillies can get James Shields any given day, my friend. But
in this ballpark,
it can get exponentially worse.
When Peter Borges is 5-for-10 with a home run off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does have Ryan Howard in a bit of check. 2-for-12. I mean, that one homer that I talked about.
Hey, you know what? I'll take a chance if he's going
to
be low.
Hit the homers off him last year, because they were like, because I remember going with Shields that night and just being like, what? But you know how it is.
Yeah, we used to be able to roster James Shields because he was good at getting the strikeouts and everything. But we kind of knew that we were going to have to live with a couple solo shots. He allowed a lot of home runs last year, but I believe almost 80% of them were solo shots last year. So I'm looking at James Shields here right now. Or I'm trying to. And I'm trying to pull up that game, because you've got me very, very interested in that now.
That was last year, you said?
Let's
San Diego.
Here. Game logs, 2000.
It was a Friday night. I remember this. In August. Damn, the photogenic memory.
Damn, August 7th.
The photogenic
nice.
Memory is just coming back in pieces.
Yeah, three earned runs, three home runs. See what, and that's what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. Three earned runs, three home runs. Let's see here. It was. This is hard-hitting analysis right here. Ryan Howard, Dominic Brown, and Cody Ashton.
Oh, my God. Dominic Brown. Or holy hammer. Crap. Blast from the past. From the near.
Dominic Brown, Ryan Howard, and, yeah, Cody Ashton.
Oh, yes, you are.
But, and then Cameron Rupp got one off of Kevin Quackenbush in the 12th inning to win
good
it.
Good name. Good name. All right. So, I mean, obviously, anybody's in play here tonight, but Odubel Herrera would probably be a good way to go. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, all those lefties going yard off him.
I'm just finding it very, 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 very hard to not stack the Phillies on FanDuel.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll definitely take a look. We will definitely take a look.
I mean, a 9.5 total, James Shields, cheap bats. Oh.
Settle down, Beavis.
I might fade this on FanDuel and hope to God. And then I might, one of my teams tonight on DraftKings, I might just stack the shit out of them just to cover my butt.
Hey,
I might, that might be how I end up playing.
James Shields, 8,000 on FD2 tonight.
Yeah, I have no interest in James Shields.
I'm just saying.
Not. I would rather roster Jarrett Eichhoff.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a look here around the industry at where the different prices could be here. So
in Coors Field.
So Philly, yeah, I mean on Philly, or I'm sorry, on DraftKings, Philly's prices are right up there. I mean, Odubel Herrera, 49,000. Mikel Franco,
Jesus, 49,000.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot for him. 4,900. Yeah. Mikel Franco, 48. Cesar Hernandez at 47. Altair, 46. Galvis. See, Galvis is a guy that I like to go with. I mean, especially if he's going to be batting second. I mean, I don't know if he will be, but if he's batting second, I like him a lot. I got to see his price on yeah, 2,400. Basically, I just don't want Galvis batting 8th or 9th. I could even accept 7th from him. 6th is pretty good spot as well. But
If you want to get creative, because I think they might be a little bit higher owned, I even don't mind a little wraparound stack here. So, we've spent a lot of time on the Phillies. White Sox bats against Jared Eichhoff.
Well, I'm sorry, if you weren't drooling over them for 5 minutes, we probably...
Well, if FanDuel would price them accordingly,
you weren't staring at them from outside the bakery window. I mean,
I wish FanDuel would figure out what they want to do, either price dynamically or go back to your old price setting. Don't combine the two; it's ridiculous.
Okay.
So, White Sox bats.
Plenty.
Yeah, Melky Cabrera, Jose Abreu, Justin Morneau, Todd Frazier. Adam Eaton, Tim Anderson, Avisel Garcia. Yeah, I don't mind any of them. So,
yeah.
I mean, your projected 4.8 runs. Understand that some strikeouts are going to happen with Eichhoff, but don't be shy about rostering Chicago White Sox bats.
Yeah, Abreu homered three straight games now, not days. So take a look at that.
Yep,
I really like Adam Eaton as well.
Yep, absolutely. Detroit Tigers, Minnesota Twins, Matt Boyd versus Tyler Duffy. Oh, I'm kicking myself because I got off of this game last night and I was all over Victor Martinez. I thought he was the play over Gary I Suck Balls Sanchez, and it was. I went with Cameron Rupp instead, and I kicked myself in the butt for it.
Gotta have you some Brian Dozier in this game. I mean, all right, so I guess...
Brian Dozier's on freaking fire.
You gotta have some Dozier in your life. Now, we're not going with pitchers anywhere here, are we?
No.
All right, good.
Absolutely
good,
not.
Good. All right. Not good from the fact that, like, oh, okay, I thought we could. Good that we're all sane of not even thinking about it. Okay, good. Glad to hear. Yeah, Brian Dozier, 3,900 there on FanDuel over on – I mean, he's hella expensive on DraftKings, but for good reason. Yeah, Dozier, very expensive on FD2 tonight, but still, I think I would take the chance anytime. Dozier against the lefty at Minnesota, I'm interested. And Matt Boyd on the road, by the way, massive home road splits, you know, in favor of Twins bats here tonight against him on the road. Got to have you some of that.
Yep, I agree. Let's see here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He agrees with you 110%. Oh, man. He's starting to become more and more involved in the DFS. We've got our little routine, and unfortunately, our times just did not mesh today. So,
me last night, telling me how much I sucked last night. He's really getting involved now.
Yeah, so my gosh, Miguel Sano, Jorge Polanco is cheap, Robbie Grossman, I mean, Jesus. This, honestly, if you're wanting one game to just stack both sides, this might be that game.
Yeah.
And what I would do is I would go with all of the right-handed bats. Every single one of them would be right-handed bats. Kinsler, Cabrera. The only left-handed bat I would throw in there is probably, well, there's two, and they're both switch hitters. Three. I forgot that Polanco was a switch hitter. It would be V-Mart, Grossman, and Polanco. Every other bat would be right-handed bats because this – we saw last night Victor Martinez can hit it out to the left or to right field. But this park really, really, really loves right-handed power.
Sure as hell does. Also, one thing, Tyler Duffy was having a nice little string of starts. He had three straight wins before his last one at Kansas City. I expect him to go back to his old self. But, you know, the two games that he did, at Cleveland, but it wasn't the greatest start. His points just looked better because he got the win. But he did have two home starts against the Astros and the Royals, so obviously he had a major advantage there. Don't read too much into that.
Yep. Mets and Cardinals. Jacob DeGrom versus Carlos Martinez. And this is very, very, very interesting in my opinion.
Sure is.
I don't usually say roster pitchers in the same game. This might be one of those times where I'm going to say it.
Okay. Now, you said at the beginning, you said this is very, 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 very interesting. I think it's almost too interesting to go with either guy on FanDuel.
Oh, yeah, I can't play either one on
FanDuel. It's too interesting. And
although your boy Derek Hardy does kind of – did you see that article?
No, I didn't.
You need to read that article.
I'll think about it. I got a lot of articles I got to read today.
Yeah, but this is the one. This is one you need to read because your boy basically the common misnomer for misnomer for FanDuel is I got to roster somebody that is able to get the win. You know, the 12 points. It's a 12 point swing. Blah 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 blah. He makes some very, very interesting points where you probably should rethink that strategy. And so, I really, really, it's very interesting. And you know, I don't agree with a lot that Derek Carty says. I think he's,
You don't like his hair. It's okay.
No, I love his hair. He got the locks. But I don't agree with a lot of his takes. Yes, I know he went to scout school and he was on ESPN and Baseball Tonight and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I'm just saying that there are things that he says that just, as a former baseball player, make me go, what? Huh? Are you kidding me? It's so far out of left field that you've left the stadium and gotten on the train back to Boston. Mm. So,
is that where he's from? Boston? No, he's from Jersey.
I know. But you go from Jersey to Boston, you can take a train, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great train ride. Okay. Back, I used to go to Johnston and Wales. So one time, a bunch of us. So you'd have a lot of people from like Jersey, Philly, Delaware that would all take off on the train to go back home for the weekend. And one of these particular Thursdays that we were all heading back home, we had like the entire cart to ourselves. It was like a big ass party on an Amtrak train. It was ridiculous. One of the coolest things I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. So
it was cool.
That's what I mean by that.
by partying on an Amtrak train.
So I like the pitchers here. We have to look a little bit at the bats because it's not like these guys are invincible. You know, I like Jay Bruce a little bit. Cespedes is very, very interesting because we know how well he can also hit right-handed pitching, not just left-handed pitching.
Sure.
You know, Brandon Moss. What did Matt Carpenter do last night? Do you know?
No. Remember, I stopped watching baseball after.
That's right. Okay, we're starting to get more of a – and Chop mentioned this yesterday. Matt Carpenter is a leadoff hitter. He's comfortable in that leadoff spot. We're starting to get more and more of a sample size of him not in that leadoff spot, and it's not good. Mm-hmm.
Very overpriced. I feel like even when he is doing well, I mean, yeah, when he puts up 30s and 40s, yeah, okay. Like,
I don't mind him at 3.8K if he's going to be leading
you
off.
You can't like say that he's overpriced putting up all those points, but I feel like he's just always overpriced.
Okay.
Personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that at all. Let's see here. Piscotty had a home run taken away from him last night. 6 inches could have – 6 inches makes all the difference in the world.
They'll tell you, but we really know that's not true.
They'll deny it, but we all know what the truth is. So that's one of those things that, you know, you just can't help. You got to tip your cap. Great plays happen. I'm not going back to Wilmer Flores in this matchup. He crushes left-handed pitching, does not do so well versus right-handed pitching. So these would be, you know, if I'm making 10, 15 teams, I might roll a stack out of each in hopes that one of the each blows up. You know, I've got a little bit of interest maybe in Jose Reyes.
I'm just looking at that name.
And everybody knows I hate playing Jose Reyes. I think he's overrated. Neil Walker, if he's in that lineup, 4-for-16 with 2 home runs against no more Jay Bruce. He's 1-for-15 with a home run.
Yikes. So. I don't mind Estrubel Cabrera, 2,500 there on FanDuel. Absolutely popped off last night for 27.7 points. He, you know, switch hitter, can do it from both sides. But, again, if you're trying to get creative here, I wouldn't mind him. Cabrera might be batting in that two hole as well, so.
Yeah, I got more interested in pitching than the.
Hey, I wasn't even going to talk about that, but since you brought him up, and then.
Well, I think they're interesting one-offs, and then, you know, I think they're going to be two of the higher-owned pitchers. They might not. I just, now that I think about it, with Porcello, well, I can't say Porcello, but with Fernandez and Cueto and. You know, James Shields. I'm kidding. With Fernandez on the mound and Yu Darvish, I think these guys, you know, they're going to be higher owned because they carry the name, but I don't think that they are targetable unless it's a full stack in multiple lineups. So,
just wanted to mention, too, Estrubel Cabrera, 4,800 on FD2. That's stupid.
That's too cheap. Yeah. Atlanta Braves, Arizona Diamondbacks, Julio Teheran, Zach Greinke. You know where I'm going?
Greinke.
Yep. I've got a lot of interest in Zach Greinke tonight.
As you should. And, you know, you're going to – the first two games of this series, we saw, you know, slugfests going – they slugged it out again last night, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
they slugged it out again.
It was, I believe, 7-4.
Oh, my. You're definitely going to get low ownership to one of the worst offensive teams in the league, if not, with Greinke, and Yeah, I like your thinking here, man. I like your thinking.
Too bad, you know, if A.J. Pruszynski was in the Braves lineup, then I'd be all off of Greinke.
I'm sure he dominates him or something along those lines.
21 for 56 with 3 home runs and 8 RBIs.
21 for 56. Dear God.
419 WOBA, 214 ISO. Nick Markakis does have a little bit of success against him. So does Matt Kemp. 5 for 23 with a home run for Kemp. Gordon Beckham, out of everybody, Gordon Beckham, 4 for 16 with a home run. I'm not going to Freddie Freeman again tonight. I know he's been kind of in fuego, but 2 for 15 against Greinke. BVP does hold true in the negative way, too. I pointed it out with Cargo yesterday on the podcast. Played Cargo in, I think, 2 lineups on out of the 3 sites that I played, a total of 2 lineups. And, of course, I was not shocked with him doing what he was doing what he did. So.
The way he did. And, by the way, Atlanta, such a bad team. You know, I just feel like this is a classic letdown spot for these guys since, you know, they've absolutely mashed, you know, these last 2 games in Arizona, taking advantage of some really shoddy pitching. And then, you know, you got to look back, though. I mean, remember in consecutive days last week, we had Tyler Duffy threw a damn complete game against them, and then Reynaldo Lopez had the 11 strikeouts against them. Greinke is, you know, not in his head, he's an elite pitcher. The Braves are projected for 4 runs tonight, but I still think he gets this win. And you know,
yeah, I think that has everything to do with the ballpark and nothing to do with the talent.
But yeah, I really like that Greinke play. I'm definitely going to look into it a lot more.
Yep. As far as the Arizona Diamondbacks against Julio Teheran, Julio Teheran's another one of those severe home road splits guys. When you're sitting there looking at it, I mean. Oh, let's see here. It's clicking.
Enhance.
Damn it. And it's not going to pull up. Well, screw you too. His last 4 road starts at Colorado. 4 innings pitched. I believe that actually was a rain delayed game.
We talk about Teheran here?
Yes.
What?
4 innings pitched. Yeah, that was a rain delay game because no earned runs, 3 strikeouts. That was a rain delay game with him, and I believe it was Tyler Chatwood. It doesn't matter, but the start before that on the road against the Chicago White Sox, 5 earned runs allowed. Let's see here. Against the Mets, he actually shut down the Mets. Complete game shutout in New York.
That was on Papa's Day.
Yep. San Diego, 2 earned runs. Dodgers, 3 earned runs. Pirates had another good start against the Pirates. So against struggling offensive teams, this guy can actually do it.
I
don't want to pick on this Arizona offense.
I will say he does have a better ERA on the road this season, but when I think of Julio Teheran and his splits, I think back to last season and just how massively better of a pitcher he was at home. He doesn't have a win at home this season. 0-5. ERA is still a very respectable 3.22. Again, on the road, he's allowing an opposing batting average of 178. I mean, only 38 hits and 61 in the third inning. I mean, yeah, it's going to be risky, but I mean, he's been better here on the road this season.
Yeah, he has. Yasmani Tomas. Oh, yes. Tomas. Jake Lamb. Way to bust out of your slump last night. The dude was 2 for his last, 45 at the plate and had 2 doubles, 2 RBIs last night.
Yay.
So congratulations, Jake Lamb is back. Still only $3,000. Obviously, I'm never going to talk you out of playing Paul Goldschmidt. Michael Bourne's interesting, especially if Tyler Flowers is behind the plate. These Atlanta Braves catchers cannot throw runners out, so I don't mind them at all either. And then Wellington, the beef Castillo. Hopefully he's in that lineup over Tuffy Gosiewicz.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much everything you said. Nothing really stuck out. Or not that. Nothing stuck out that you didn't mention, so we're good.
Yep. Giants, Dodgers. Johnny Cueto and the debut, finally, Rich Hill.
Look, I have some interest. And hey, by the way, the line held true last night with Madison Bumgarner. I mean, granted, sure as hell didn't with Maeda, but hey, good enough for me. I'll take one of the two calls. I have some interest in Dodgers bats here. I'm not completely sold on Cueto right now at all. He's had a very good season. It's just against these Dodgers bats, I am not backing down. I mean, these Dodgers bats are popping right now.
Yeah, Cueto's last five starts, he's allowed at least three runs or more in four of them. He has only eclipsed five strikeouts once in those five starts, and that was against your hapless Phillies. granted, he's still pitching deep in the ball games, and against the Mets, he did have a good performance, but he did not get the win in that one. I actually like the Dodgers bats, like you said, Justin Turner, Adrian Gonzalez, Yasmani Grandal, Corey Seager, and Chase Utley.
Yep.
If Chase Utley's in the lineup, because he came in late in the game and then left, like the very next inning, and nobody has any idea why.
Well,
I have not heard anything.
He is old, so we can put that there. 10-28 career against Cueto is Utley, but yeah, again, and the Dodgers bats, other than Corey Seager, they're all very generously priced, so get you some definitely. And you know what? You're going to get low ownership against Cueto. I mean, it's just going to happen. I mean, if you take a look, he's given up hits like you wouldn't believe. So, yes, that is there. Any Rich Hill interest?
No.
Okay. Last time, I believe he came off the DL back when he was with Oakland, I remember he had a tremendous start. I remember talking about it, too. By the way, Julio Teheran has 666 strikeouts in his career. The devil! Let's stay off him tonight.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. I got to pull this one up from Rich Hill. Say a couple words to the people first, sir.
Let's see. Rich Hill is an old man that could not get rid of a blister. The Giants are too pesky, man. They kept battling back last night, battling back. Granted, they don't have a lot of pop, but guys like Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Denard Span's had a great year, and Eduardo Nunez. Hunter Pence he's not hitting the ball too well right now, but this is not – I just don't like picking on the Giants with anybody, really, because of how pesky they can be. So I don't care if they're in – Yellowstone Park or in Chavez Ravine. I just don't like picking on them.
Fair enough. Dodgers are, by the way, 144 favorites tonight with over-under 7, so very interested.
Yeah.
That thing with Hill, I mean, it was more of a pitch total, like, the fact that I think it was his second start back. I feel like a dumb right now.
Well, the A's were also trying to shop him at the same time,
yes.
So... I mean, it's just kind of something that happens. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not retarded. I know what I'm talking about here. All right. So, yeah, that second start that he came back off the DL stint, 6 innings, 3 hits, 10 strikeouts, yes, against Houston, but whatever. It was still impressive just because, I remember at the time being like, I don't know if we want to roll with him. He's just back off the DL. No, he went and pitched himself a great game, so... I don't care about the Giants anymore. They don't scare me as much. So,
okay, we can agree to disagree there. All right, let's go to some dong calls. How about that?
I agree that we can do that.
All right, I'll let you go first tonight.
Great. All right, for the AL, I gotta go. Well, that's ML. Shit.
You can go NL first.
No, I'm gonna go AL. A's before N in the alphabet. Gotta rep my A's. But Brian Dozier for the Minnesota Twins against Matt Boyd, it's a great spot. We talked about it earlier. And Dozier at home against lefties, money in the bank. Shorty, what you drink? Okay.
All righty. I am going to go with I'm torn between two, but I think I'm going to end up going with our boy Ian Desmond.
All right. I like that call a lot. I mean,
let's go to National League here. Give me somebody that can win me a cue tonight.
Oh, I'm going to give you somebody. Wilson Ramos against the lefty. Got one of the prettiest swings. This was no hesitation. This is where I wanted to go.
I was about to say, that was easy and simple.
Yeah, against the lefty, Ramos is just absolutely money. That's exactly where I'm rolling at catcher tonight. And probably on FD, too, as a sneaky play.
Okay. I think I keep... This is how much I keep talking. It's gonna bite me in the ass. I keep talking myself and falling into these guys. I'm gonna go with your boy Mikel Franco tonight.
All right, against the righty.
Yep. So, I think he. As much as I don't like what he did to Tyler Anderson, I can't deny the talent. And if he helps win me money, that'll be on the faster road to recovery. So.
You know, if anybody wins me money, they're like automatically forgiven. But it depends how much money. So,
yeah, I think I've got to go buy a Kiki Hernandez jersey now because he helped me win. Because
I had major beef with Chris Bryant last year, and then he popped off for like 56. And I was like, "We cool, man. There's never a problem." I was just playing.
Did you at least buy a Bryant bobblehead?
I did not. I'm not a bobblehead guy.
You gotta pay back the fantasy gods.
I could send him a nice tweet. I mean, it's a year late, but.
Yeah, I just want to remind you that when you popped off for 56 FanDuel points, you helped me win a lot of money. Congrats,
thanks.
Sir.
Thanks. What's your PayPal email address?
No kidding. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Make sure you stay tuned for the interview with JBlaze39. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of the hard-hitting DFS analysis questions there, and we have a lot of fun, too, as well. So. For Al, I am Keith. Let's go win some more money tonight.
Yeah, giddy up.
Peace. All righty. Congratulations, everybody. You have made it to the fun part of the show today. Forget the baseball analysis. Hopefully you don't forget everything that we have just talked about here. Want to go ahead and thank JBlaze39, a longtime member of the DFS Army. He is one of our big winners from last year. $380,000 on DK in week 9, I want to say.
Yes.
All righty, $380,000 in week 9. Also included in that was a seat to the live final, the $15 million Fantasy World Football Championships out in San Diego, California, which I don't know how many DFS Army members have been to live finals, but when we get to that part of the interview, then we'll discuss some of our some of the things that we liked, because I know that you've been and you probably had a ton of fun, and I've been and I've had a ton of fun. So we'll get to that here in just a little bit. How you doing tonight, Jay?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks.
Good to hear. Prepping for NFL, just like we all are, I bet.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Can't wait. I'm just chomping at the bit for it.
Yeah, exactly. Have you dove into preseason at all?
I haven't. I mean, I've watched some of the games, you know, kind of pay attention to what's, you know, injury-wise and, you know, moving up to the boards, you know,
Depth charts,
yeah, you know, and who's doing what, so kind of paying attention to that now.
Yep, absolutely. And if you're not doing that, if you're not watching preseason games, following the beat writers on Twitter and all that good stuff, then you're probably not doing it right, and you probably could be missing some things, because especially in your season longs, I can promise you not a lot of people are doing it, and there's some things you're going to be missing out. So want to intro into this here. This is This is a big, big thing for the DFS Army. I believe, honestly, you are, as far as a weekly winner, you are the largest one that we have right now currently.
Wow.
Hopefully, and no offense to you, but hopefully we have a couple more beat you this year.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be great. What's that?
Maybe I'll top my own.
That would be even better. We'd have you on again. But I want to start off by, obviously, you know, you have some love for the DFS Army, because not only are you doing this interview, but I know you had had our avatar that we were just starting to put out about that time. Up on the leaderboard, your avatar was part of the leaderboard at the live finals. So how long have you actually been reading Kevin's work?
Pretty much I started all last year. Actually, probably maybe the third week in of the season. That's when I found you. And then been hooked ever since. So
been hooked ever since. Yeah, he does a ton of work. On not just the actual game flow and what, you know, is going on, but also into a lot of the research and game theory and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know I get so wrapped up in MLB and NBA that when it comes time for NFL, I just default to Kevin. I let him do the thinking for me.
Sure.
So it's a lot of fun. Want to go down this lineup here with you real quick, because I've got a screenshot, and if you want to see what winning $380,000 looks like on DraftKings, go to our testimonies page, our huge winners, and he's down towards the bottom, and you can see that it just goes. I mean, you've got a fourth place finish in the Millionaire Maker, which we'll get to here in just a second. You've got the 1 million kickoff, which you won first place in. You've got the live final queue seat, which you won first place in. You got the play action, which you took second place in. And then you got some littler ones there.
Yep.
It's still some good showings. But those are the big four that you hit. And, man, it was obviously, it was a good week for you.
That's an understatement. Yes.
Yeah, it's an understatement. The lineup that actually was really, really good, Marcus Mariota, Devontae Freeman, D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown, Michael Crabtree, Alshon Jeffrey, Delanie Walker, Jeremy Langford, and the Minnesota Vikings defense. Now, when we were kind of talking before the show, you said that you were kind of kicking yourself a little bit for that Minnesota Vikings defensive call, and I can kind of understand why a little bit. You finished in fourth in the Millionaire Maker.
Yep.
Tell everybody how many points you were actually away from winning that thing.
I was 4 points away from winning, and then the game would have went in overtime. I probably would have got it. When I was putting it together, I was debating between the Jets defense and Minnesota. And if I would have put the Jets in there, I would have had the million.
We've got one of our behind the scenes guy that he made a lineup and he put it in a couple contests, and his lineup that week actually would have taken down the million. Not the same week, but the week that he actually did it. And he kind of kicks himself for that every once in a while still. So to come that close, I mean, you're not going to sneeze at 150K out of that.
No.
But to come that close, I mean, that's extremely, extremely difficult to do. And that was a great showing for you. So
thank you.
Now, when you go through Kevin's article and everything, what's your process going through the slate? When you break down his Vegas lines and his player articles and stuff like that, what's kind of your process and how do you get into the thinking?
Well, I'm looking at the game matchups. I'm looking at kind of thinking who's going to be the chalk, who's going to be the one that everybody does, and then I'm gonna pick a game that maybe can get the same amount of points fantasy-wise, but it's kind of a little under the radar. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. Because everybody's going to be, you know, picking, you know, the Green Bays and the, you know, the high-scoring teams, you know, New England. And, but in order to separate yourself, you got to have a couple of guys that are a little, you know, lower owned, obviously. And when you're going through each game matchup, you just look for those matchups, and weather comes into play. And reading all about that, you kind of get an idea of what how the game's going to set up based on the information that Kevin provides there.
Yep, and he's extremely good at doing that. One of the key things that I wanted to point out is you've got to identify the chalk, and you've got to be able to separate yourself from the field, which is something that is extremely, extremely difficult some days. The great part about it, though, is that, you know, we get all week to kind of analyze this.
Yep.
And that's what makes it so much fun, is there's so much information out there that I want to caution everybody into getting into information overload.
Yeah.
Because really, honestly, you can get into that point. And then when you're constructing lineups on Sunday morning, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this guy said XYZ, but this guy says, you know, ABC, and it becomes like a who do I trust more? And then you end up kind of, I don't want to say screwing yourself, but you kind of end up screwing yourself and second guessing yourself.
Yeah.
Based on that. If you just pick one or two guys, for me, it's the Evan Silva matchup article every week off of RotoWorld, and then Kevin's articles. That's all I read for NFL as far as game flow, player picks, stuff like that.
You overthink it too, you know.
Exactly.
And with all this information, you tend to overthink it sometimes.
You want to kiss it.
Yeah.
You want to keep it simple, stupid.
That's right. Exactly.
So, going into the thought process of constructing this lineup, I know some of my bigger nights have been when I haven't felt completely good about some of the choices I made. And I start going back and I looking back at them after lock, and I'm like, man, why did I make that decision? I kind of hate myself for that. Did you have that kind of thought when building this lineup? Were you kind of at first kind of biting yourself for making some decisions in this?
That was actually one of my first lineups I created, and I put it in, and you know, all those four contests, and I had kind of forgotten about it, and then I just said, I'm going to make some more. And I was thinking, man, I got some good ones coming up here, and I'm going to really tweak this and get it good. When the ones that did the worst were the ones I did later on, when I overthought it, and then when I when I went with my first thought, that's the one that won. So, you know, I just kind of put it together. I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes or so, and just, you know, didn't even think about it. And I thought, well, I'm just going to get, you know, put it together quick, and, well, that's the one that won. So,
yep. Yeah. There you go. And that's something that's actually kind of funny. You hear a bunch of stories about and screenshots, especially during the NFL season and stuff like, oh my gosh, I put this together in 5 minutes before lock just to, you know, kind of get into something else. And this is the one that won, and I put it in a bunch of contests. And yeah. I know for me, one of my biggest ones that I did, in a sport that I don't really know, which is MMA, I was just doing it for, it was, DK was having one of their missions weeks that they used to hold.
Yeah.
And, I played in an MMA contest. And I put it together, and this is, you know, not suitable for work. If you've got it out loud, kind of lower it a little bit. I put it together when I was on the toilet. And it ended up taking second in the MMA contest that week. And so I didn't know who the fighters were. I just did it for the missions points and ended up getting a cool $500 off of it. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, I had a good week in MMA once too, and I put it together in like 5 minutes too. The same thing. You know, it wasn't like that, but it was, you know, money anyway. So.
All right, now we're going to get to the hard-hitting questions here, okay?
Okay.
What was the sweat like?
Oh, my God. every pass, every you know, possession was just pins and needles. And then, I'm being interviewed at the same time, and then and I'm going through live, on the sweat show. And just, you know, I'm I could hardly breathe, you know, it was, just anticipation. So it was, very, nerve wracking.
Where were you at the end of the Sunday night game?
I was in, 1547th place.
So you really honestly had no idea that this was coming up until the Monday. I mean, you thought that maybe if things went right, you might have had a chance.
Yep.
But, you know, until about, I would say probably about halftime of the Monday night game, that's when you really started looking at it going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I could have a shot here.
Yeah, and, well, as of Sunday night, I think I was up $350. And I'm thinking, holy crap,
this is awesome, you know?
And then it got to be about halftime on the Monday night game, and I'm up to about 1,500, 2,000. I'm like, okay, let's keep this going here. And
yeah.
And then it just it took off from there. The game it was kind of boring up until then, and then it kind of, you know, got hot there for a while. And hey, you know, I was one of the guys that, had two guys going that night. A lot of other people only had one, and that's what separated me. So I was able to jump a lot of guys because of that. And earlier that day, when I got a call or I got an email saying, "Hey, you want to be on this show?" You know, and I'm like, "Why? I'm way back there. You know what's going on here? You know." I'm like, yeah, that's fine, no problem, you know, not thinking anything of it. Well, turns out, you know, they knew what they were doing, I guess, so.
Yeah, the guys over there on the DK Sweat Show, they, you know, they'll go through everything and, you know, they'll make sure that, you know, if things go right, these are the guys that we want to talk to, so they'll reach out to a bunch of guys on, you know, for different scenarios and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, things just happen to go right, and that's when it's fun. That's when it gets fun. And I know it's nerve-wracking.
Yep.
You know, anybody that's had a sweat for any sort of amount of money, it can get nerve-wracking. But when you're talking about a sweat for a live final seat, and even probably more than that, $1 million, you know, you're talking about a negative 2 yard rush can drop you 35 spots, you know, because to get up to $1 million prize pool, you've got to have a ton of entries.
Yeah.
And in order to get to that, you know, we're talking about fractions of points, can move or drop you, you know, thousands of spots.
Well, the difference between first and the million and second was less than a tenth of a point.
Yeah, it was that was one of the closer ones. I know there's been some where, you know, they've the millionaire or the $1 million winners kind of walked away with it a couple. And when I say walk away, I mean like 3 or 4 points.
Yeah, well.
But you know, you've got some of those that go on as well. So, so what was your wife thinking as you were going through this sweat on Monday night?
She was sleeping for half of it.
Did you wake her up?
She woke up just as the game was getting over, to be honest with you. And I, you know, guess what, honey? I just won this, you know, like, what? And she comes over and, you know, half sleepy and, you know, looking at the screen like, am I looking at this right? You know, like, is that real? I'm like, yeah, it's real. It's she said, I'll believe it when I see it in the bank account. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, my grandmother, She asked me now that she goes, is this real money, right? yes, it's real money.
Yeah.
It's real money.
Well, so, to be honest, I was skeptical too. I'm like, oh, is this real? within a week it was in my account. I'm like,
yeah, hey, this is real.
Oh, it's real. Oh my God. never dreamed of having that much. It was, yeah, it was incredible. I was up till about 2 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep and I was shaking, so.
Oh yeah. And then you start getting, then you wake up the next morning, you're like, all right, this is real.
Yep.
It's in my DK account, so I know it's real. And then you get the email from DraftKings stating, okay, we need to make arrangements for you to come out here.
And
for the live finals. So I want to talk about that just here for a second. What was it like being out there during the first round of the DK live final?
Oh, that was an amazing experience. I met a lot of cool people, and they did a thing on me for the contenders. I was one of 10 guys that they highlighted or whatever, and so they had a film crew come out to my house and everything, and did a whole story. And but while I was out there, I'm sitting there hanging out with John Bales and Condia and some of the guys that, are constantly, up on the leaderboards. And I'm thinking, I'm reading this, these guys' books I got a Johnson Bales book that I read. And, when I first started, I'm thinking, now I'm playing against him here in the final. I'm like, wow. Okay. That's kind of cool. I met some really cool people out there that I'm still friends with, and we talk all the time, and from all over the country, and it was just a cool experience. They I'll tell you what, DK puts on an amazing show. When you walk into the Hard Rock, and it's all DraftKings everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's so lit up. They put us up, actually a couple extra days just because, we asked for it. And she said, yeah, no problem. I'm like, wow, okay. They took us out on a boat excursion and everything. And we had a party on Friday night and sitting hanging out with the owner towards the end of the night there, they didn't hold anything back on expenses, that's for sure. Then the experience during the actual final on the Sunday was wall to wall TVs, food everywhere, drink all you could drink, just sitting there. How much more could you ask for?
It's pretty fun to actually qualify and then get out there, and you're like, okay, this is really real. And then you get out there, and it's like, okay, I want to enjoy myself, but I also don't want to embarrass myself either.
Yeah,
and I know it's a little bit different for basketball than it is for football. You know what the matchups are. You're kind of looking all week. You don't have to pay. You know what's going on and stuff like that. For basketball, it's a little bit different because you're still sitting there watching the injury news and stuff like that, like you would do.
Yeah.
It's they don't spare any expense when it comes to these live finals, and they're a ton of fun. One of the biggest things that I know DraftKings does is they make sure that they take care of the of everybody, really. And FanDuel, I don't want to short FanDuel. FanDuel did the same thing with us, but you know, DraftKings, they know how to throw a party.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the thought of being able to sit there and, you know, hang out with Bales, that alone, to be able to pick his brain without, you know, being on Twitter or you know, one-on-one would be – that would almost make the trip worth it.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, it seemed like we had you know, the same type of mindset when picking our lineups, the way it sounded. I actually finished ahead of him in the final.
You could take that in to the bank. That is awesome. All right, last question here, and it's probably the hardest one that I'm going to fire at you. How did you repay the fantasy gods?
Ooh, wow. Well, I kept playing.
That's always a good one. What did you do with the money? With a lot of the money, did you buy your wife something nice?
First thing I did is I bought her a nice ring, then we moved into a new place, and then you know, paid off a bunch of bills and you know, put some money away for investments and bought a bunch of furniture for the new house and a couple new vehicles.
And upped your bankroll a little bit.
Yeah, you could say that.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So just a wee bit.
Only an extra zero or two, you know, it was, you know, and then I thought, you know, I'm gonna keep going here. I'm going to try my hand at basketball and baseball and golf, and I tell you, there's nothing like football. Those other ones, talk about cutting my teeth. I've had to. Oof, that's been a struggle. But
it's fun to learn and it's fun to have. You just got to be able to embrace it, embrace all the variants and everything.
Oh,
so
gosh, yeah,
it's a lot of fun. So. Well, Jay Blaze 39, I want to congratulate you again personally, and from everybody at the DFS Army, we appreciate you coming on quickly and giving us a little bit of insight and a little bit of thought. Man, it's going to be a fantastic NFL season. Good luck to you and good luck to everybody in the DFS Army.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
No problem.